And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Conquest Chronicles. This is Matt here, along with Dina, and we got quite a few to get to today. Spring practice is next week. That's starting up. USC baseball is in full swing. We have USC and UCLA basketball in action. We're headed towards the Pac-12 tournament, though. For USC basketball, their chances are right now just winning the tournament. But we got quite a few to get to today. Other than that, let's go ahead and get the road started. Dina, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. What about you?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. Just want to go ahead and also mention that we are a week away from the... No, actually, we are... A little over a week away. I think we're, how many days? 13 days, I want to say. We're not that far away from the USC and UCLA baseball game at Dodger Stadium. Again, Dina and I will be in attendance for that game, but we're not that far away, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah. It seemed like just 2 weeks ago we were talking about it. Or was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago we were talking about it, and it's coming up quickly. So it's gonna be an interesting game given how USC baseball is right now. Kind of underperforming right now, but we'll get to that as time comes. Right now, we'll go ahead and we'll jump into USC football. After this offseason, It's been a pretty interesting offseason for the USC Trojans. But right now, it seems like after Graham Harrell had his, you could say his, after he met with the media, it seemed like there's just a lot of positive things going on with USC, with USC football right now. I don't want to say a lot of positive things, but there's a lot of positive thoughts going into USC football. And that came after the after Graham Harrell basically addressed the media and told everybody, hey, this is what's going on right now. This is how I'm going to run my offense. This is what I'm going to do. He basically went, he spoke with the media, and the media asked them about, how are you going to run your offense? You know, who, you know, is JT Daniels starting for you? Is that the surefire starter for you? What's the offense going to look like? Is it going to be the air raid as everybody thought? And he basically went in depth. We didn't really go too in depth, but he basically said, look, the air raid isn't a quote unquote offensive playbook that a lot of people think. It's not an X's and O's thing that a lot of people think it is. The air raid is a identity. It's an identity. And basically, you're trying to make things, he said, they're trying to make things simple and put your playmakers in the best position to make a play, you know, to make plays and to utilize their strength. He did mention that they were going to run the ball, that they were going to run the ball. So they're not going to completely abandon the run, as many people think. But he mentions the running backs. He said, look, USC has talented running backs. There's talent across the board. But he also said there's going to be open competition because he wants to see who can run his offense. But, Dina, just based off of those comments and what you've seen from Graham Harrell when he was talking about it, it seems like it's a breath of fresh air that USC needed. It was like, this is what we needed to hear. This is what needed to be said, and this is what needed to be done for the USC offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he would have came in and said JT Daniels is a starter, there's not going to be a competition, then that would have put like a deflate into the whole hoopla about Graham Harrell.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the biggest thing, the best thing about this is the fact that he said not only is it open competition, because honestly, what was the theme of it was last year was a lot of players felt like they they didn't have to compete for their jobs. A lot of players, basically, you just saw the same starters. Now, they would brush it up from time to time, but it was like the same guys were starting regardless of mistakes, you know? And, you know, with every position, with new coaches, yeah, you're going to have every position open. I think that was the case. But for USC offensively, you're reopening the quarterback job. I mean, it's not very different from what we saw with Lane Kiffin when he first came to USC. And he was like, look, the competition's going to be open. You know, it's going to be Matt Barkley and Mitch Mustaine. Now, Barkley ultimately won that job, which really we all figured. But this one, it's like, well, you don't know, because Jack Sears looked impressive against ASU. Matt Fink looked impressive. In small sample sizes, that what we got. JT Daniels was up and down. And you don't know what you're going to get out of the incoming freshman, Kevin Slovis. You don't know what you'll get out of him. So I think just the fact that it's going to be open competition and it's basically the best players will play is going to be good. And the fact that he said, let's open up the offense, you know, basically it's not the air raid offense. It's not an X's and O's thing. We're not going to go out here and try to out-scheme the opponent. We're going to go out here. We're going to keep it simple. And it's basically everything that we were calling for. I think it's everything that me and you were calling for, Dina, in terms with the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, keeping it simple, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands, getting your playmakers in space to make plays. I mean, that's stuff. You don't want to make these players overthink it, because the more the play goes on, the more they start overthinking it. You want to basically go 1-2 boom, 1-2 boom, 1-2 boom. And USC last year, when they were actually doing that, were moving the ball and scoring.
Right.
So that's how I view it. I mean, what do you think, Dina? Like, what are your thoughts overall?
Yeah, I think last year they were kind of overthinking it. I think the fact that they had a freshman quarterback who had never started a game in college before, they were kind of overthinking him. They were kind of it was weird because they were expecting him to do a lot, which usually a freshman quarterback, you don't do that. But I think simplifying it and just doing easy concepts for JT Daniels and the receivers. Because like you said, when they were in the rhythm last year, they were rolling. And it's just a fact of having the discipline to keep it rolling and not sputter.
And I think with Graham Harrell taking over the offense, that's going to be a thing that we'll see. Now, I'm not going to lie. My biggest concern is Clay Helton trying to get involved with the offense, but
I don't think he will. I think last season was a big slap in the face, and this offseason was a big slap in the face. So I think he'll hand it completely over to Harrell. I mean, he has no reason to get involved.
Yeah, in all honesty, he can't afford to really get involved. And especially with, you got to let Graham Harrell do his thing, because Clay Helton has no clue what the heck the air raid offense is. Right. Well, I know he knows what it is, but he never really ran it. When he was at Memphis as an assistant, they never ran it. Everywhere he's been, it's been balanced. The gumbo offense has been balanced. You know, this is different. You know, this is basically let Graham Harrell be the offensive innovative mind that he is. Now, he says he's not an offensive genius, but... And we get that, but I mean, the 2 years...
In a couple of years with USC's talent, I think he could be an offensive genius.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He definitely can. He definitely can. So, I mean, that... And granted, he's been around the air raid offense for years. He played in the air raid offense. His family, I think his grandfather and his dad were high school coaches and ran the same offense. Played in the air raid at Texas Tech. Been around Mike Leach. I mean, he's been quarterback in the NFL. He was a backup to Aaron Rodgers under, I think, McCarthy. And McCarthy is in a bad offensive mind. It's just, he's been around offenses enough to know what he can do with USC. I think he has an idea of what he wants to do with that talent.
Right.
But that, I think it's just USC fans were like, yes, finally, you know. And here, and I'm gonna make a bold prediction actually for you. And I mentioned it on Twitter. I said USC is going to be very fun to watch offensively. They're going to be fun to watch offensively. I think the USC offense this year is going to be pretty fun to watch. I think they're going to their offense is going to play up to potential, and we're going to see flashes of what they can do. Now, people think, oh yeah, they can win 9 games. They can go 9-3. They can go 8. Let's kind of pipe the brakes there a little bit. I'm not gonna say, yeah, they can win 9 games or anything like that. I'm not gonna say that, but I think the offense is going to be very fun to watch.
I hope so.
I think so. I think this the offense they're bringing, it just fits the off it fits the current group of players too well. It fits them very well, especially if you're especially if they keep it simple. Now we'll see. I mean, if they do what they say they're going to do, then they'll be good. But I think this is, like I said, is a breath of fresh air, and we'll see how it goes. But with spring practice, what are some things you're looking forward to spring practice? I know everybody takes it as, oh, this is gonna be competition. And I know Clay Helton basically said it's going to be more of getting back to the fundamentals and discipline, things that they struggled with last year. So what are some things you're looking forward to with spring practice, and what are some things you're watching out for in spring practice?
Obviously, the quarterback battle. seeing how the running backs do with this new offense, and then looking to see who on defense is going to fill the role of Cam Smith and Porter Gustin.
I agree with that too. I mainly my eyes are on the quarterback position, although I think JT Daniels wins that one. I don't think it's going to be as convincing though, because the QB battle is going to progress through the fall, but that
Yeah,
one.
it almost felt like last year there wasn't even a battle,
No.
like because Fink and Sears were so underwhelming before he got there in their little two-person battle
Right.
that I think everyone just thought. And what happened was, well, Clay Helton handed the keys to Daniels without really analyzing it, just because of all his hype. But I
Yeah.
think I yeah, like you said, I think this year's going to be very close. I think specifically between Sears and Daniels.
I think it'll be closer as well, especially given what we've seen with Sears and during the
The thing that Daniels does have an advantage of this time around, though, is his arm is better suited for the air raid offense.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did run it at Mater Dei, from according to a lot of people, they said he kind of ran a similar offense at Mater Dei. So, I
I
mean,
really want
that's
to see him take it and run too, because he did that a lot. And I know I mentioned it a lot in previous episodes, but he had like, what was it, like 800 yards rushing.
yeah, he did. He did. He showed his mobility. He
So
showed a
I'd like to see that, get him a little bit more, for him to use his escapability if it translates well.
Yeah, if it gets there, I think so. I think it'll I think that's something that I would love to see. That's for sure. But I think one eye I'm keeping one thing I'm keeping my eye on this spring is on defense, the defensive side of the ball, because there's some key players who are gone who are actually in the NFL combine right now. But it's basically who's gonna replace, like, I wanna see who steps up and replaces Porter, you know, who replaces Porter Gustin, who's gonna replace Cam Smith at inside linebacker, though I have a good idea who will do it. Who's gonna replace who's gonna step up at cornerback? I think right now, because you're gonna have Talanoa Hufanga come back. He's coming, he's returning. He's gonna come back, though. I don't know if he'll be back during the spring. That's unknown because he did break his collarbone late in the season. So there's that. I mean, Isaiah Polamalu, he returns. He'll be back, though. I think his status is unknown as well. It's gonna be just a lot of depth questions. So you're gonna see guys like Britton Allen, you know, get that. He's gonna get a lot of reps. He's gonna get a lot of reps. I think he's about 5'9" as a safety. He could slot the corner, though. He could slide to corner. I know there was a lot of talk of Chase Williams possibly going to nickel, taking a Janae Harris's spot at nickel corner. Chase Williams looked pretty impressive against Notre Dame. I mean, you have Isaiah Tyler Stewart, who will be returning, who's also returning from a foot injury. Elijah Griffin, he's viewed as a favorite, but the thing with Elijah Griffin right now is he just had shoulder surgery, I believe. So his status is unknown. Greg Johnson, his status is unknown, though he's a favorite as well. You have Dominic Davis, the former running back who's at corner. He's a possibility. So I think at defensive back is going to be a lot of guys getting reps, but come fall, that's where we're going to see the battle of who gets that rotational time, because you're going to have more depth at the defensive back position. But
Right, was I think last year, so many offensive guys left. That was kind of the focus for the spring battles and stuff. And now this
right.
year we have so many defensive guys leaving that a lot of the attention now is going to be on who's going to win these defensive battles.
Right. And I think it was more of because of them graduating and then some transferred. You had some transfers on the defensive side of the ball. But I want to circle back to linebacker because a lot of people are like, okay, John Houston is going to be a starting linebacker. But is it going to be on the inside or is it going to be in the middle, like inside or at will or weak side linebacker? And I think all eyes are going to be on Gale Teote. I think all eyes are going to be on him because with him, he looked impressive. He was very impressive during when he started and when he played. Now, I don't know why he didn't play the UCLA game, which is a big unknown, but that kid's going to be something special. That's for sure. I think you're going to see him. All eyes are going to be on him to see what his development looks like. I mean, you still have Abdul Malik McClain. You have him. He's still, you know, you still have him right there. I mean, linebacker is going to be interesting because a lot of those guys can step up and get rotational time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be well, I think he's going to win the starting job, but it's going to be between him and Solomon. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Tulia Pupu.
Tulia, yeah. We're butchering names,
He's
people. I'm
from
sorry.
Modern Day. He's going to be a sophomore.
And he was one of the top. And he was one of the top. How can I
Top-rated
say?
recruits
He's one
coming
of the
in.
top-rated recruits coming in.
Yeah,
So,
I don't think he'll or sorry, he's going to be a redshirt freshman.
yeah, he redshirted because he had a he
Teote
had,
is going to be a sophomore.
yeah, because he had
He was injured, I think, right?
Yeah, he was injured.
It's going to be we might see a rotation between those two. I know he's very, very talented. And then for outside linebacker,
You have Hunter Eccles,
we have Hunter Eccles, Kanai Mauga, Abdul.
But yeah, the outside linebackers, I mean, it's more of, you have Hunter Eccles there, who I believe is a guy who could see a lot of rotational time. Now, I know USC was hoping, they were hoping to get to get Jalen Phillips, who transferred from UCLA. Obviously, he went to Miami. But, I mean, they can make do with what they have depth-wise. I mean, they do have a lot of talented linebackers in this
Speaking
year.
Speaking of, sorry to go off on a tangent. Did anyone ever, like, report on why, what the medical reason for leaving was and why he's still playing football?
You know what? I don't know. I know he retired because of health reasons. I know he had concussions. He had, I think, one concussion or two concussions, and he kept getting hurt. Like, he kept having leg injuries. It was either a leg or a foot. Then he was going to retire. I guess he said he was going to retire, and he ended up transferring to Miami. But I think he has to sit out a year. I don't know how that's going to go. But that, as far as from what I've read.
Interesting.
And I know somebody said, I know someone said, well, aren't you supposed to be retired? And yeah, just stuff right. like that.
Did he ever answer? Or no.
No, he never replied to that. But I will say this, though. I'm trying to find a way how to put this. It's gonna be very interesting. It's gonna be very interesting to see how the outside linebacker position go. I think it's gonna be just more of a rotational thing, but I do think right. we'll see Hunter Eccles on third down. You know, when you got a rush blitz, I will see that for sure. I think you will see you'll see Mauga, actually, who was impressive during last spring, actually, who improved,
yeah,
turned
was.
A lot of heads. He'll get a lot of rotational time as well. It's just different guys. It's going to be different guys that you're going to see try to take the place of Porter Gustin, in which they need to figure it out. They also need to figure it out. I mean,
yeah, they need to establish a clear pass, a pass rusher for sure.
Exactly, because that was the one thing they struggled with was pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I said, you have other guys there too. You have Elijah Winston, who will be, I think he redshirted last year, actually. You have him. You have Abdul Malik McLean. You'll have multiple guys there who will be. Who you're hoping to step up, I think could possibly step up. But that's what linebacker spot. And
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to take it somewhere else, but go ahead.
I was going to say special teams. You want to see what goes on with special teams too.
Right.
Who's going to be punt returner? Well, Tyler Bonds has that role, but it's just going to be a matter of, do they improve on special teams? How much leeway does Baxter get this season? Because special teams kind of underperformed the last two, three seasons.
I think it's going to be him and Baxter. I always got them mixed up because they're so alike, like, the underperformance, and then they've been there for so long without any change. And then last year we saw Baxter let go, Callaway let go. And so I think it's going to be the same kind of thing this year with Baxter. Well, like he's on a short leash.
Yeah, I think he's on a very short leash right now. But the thing, too, is just if he's let go, then you got to find an interim replacement, which I think they will. I think they will, but it's just going to depend on how special teams does. I mean, I thought Baxter was going to be one of those guys let's let go, but...
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, you would see special teams, you know, I think, take away Adoree Jackson, and the last few years have been very, very, very underwhelming.
Oh, yes, it has. It really has.
You know, the only reason they were a highlight the past few years was with Adoree Jackson.
Well, yeah, because Adoree Jackson was a game changer. Right. Adoree Jackson was that guy who could change a game like that. You know what I mean? And so that was the big thing. That was the biggest thing right now, or with Adoree Jackson. And is this more of who was the last? I mean, other than that, who was the last guy? Who was the last guy that really changed changed the game like that on special teams for USC? Last person I can think of outside of Adoree Jackson is Reggie Bush. That's going far back, you know. Oh no, Damian Williams and Ronald Johnson were good on special teams. They were good on special teams, and CJ Gable was decent on special teams too. So I can't forget about them. They weren't game changers, but they were effective. So I can't forget about them too. I'm sorry. I apologies to them, because we can't forget about Rojo One and CJ Gable and Damian Williams. So other than that, I will go. I mean, there is another departure from the USC staff, and it hits strength and conditioning again. Now, as everybody knows, Ivan Lewis left for the Seattle Seahawks, which Dina can say, okay, bye. Dina can say bye to that. But now the assistant strength and conditioning coach is leaving the program to head to Kansas. Keith Belton, as it was reported last night, Keith Belton will be leaving to be the strength and conditioning coach at, I believe, at Kansas. I'm just assuming he is there. It didn't say where or anything like that.
It said Kansas.
Well, I mean Kansas, but I'm not sure what the role is going to be. But he is.
Yeah. Did he play for Mac Brown?
What's his name? No, I forgot his name. Les Miles?
Oh, right. Mac Brown's at North Carolina. Yeah, Miles.
No, not that I know of. Not that
I
see.
It's kind of odd, because they already have I saw that they already had a strength and conditioning coach, Kansas.
Yeah, they actually recently retained their strength and conditioning coach.
So is he going to be doing...
Or Woodland.
The same assistant job there? Why? I don't know why he would leave USC if he could have upward movement, unless he was mad that Helton was taking so long to either make it official or not hire him.
I think maybe the position that he's going to get is a bigger position at Kansas. And just the fact that, because the players were pushing for them to hire him. They were pushing for USC to hire Belton. And I guess...
Just the other day on Instagram, or was it Instagram or Twitter, I saw a picture of Amon-Ra St. Brown and Isaac Taylor Stewart in the weight room, and the caption was... Let me find it really quick. Said, you know, we're on that different food train. This offseason is a different mentality. And they're opposing on their flexing. So, you know, they were pumped about their new program. So it's going to be interesting who they bring on and if they're going to change it again.
Yeah, and that's the thing is USC still haven't hired a strength and conditioning coach. They still haven't made a hire. That's the crazy thing. They have yet to make a hire for that.
And it's kind of weird because this is the time where you got to be on that. Like, strength and conditioning, it's not, you can't wait, you know, a week before the game. You have to be doing that months before.
Exactly.
So it's
that, and because you got to get these guys on the program. Right. And, you
the
know,
longer
you
they wait
them.
Is just more shots in the foot for them.
And that's the big issue with USC is they tend to just wait and wait. I mean, it's like the offensive coordinator thing. It's like the offensive coordinator thing that, you know, that came up.
Right. Well, that was infuriating how it took so long. They had time for that because spring practices, you know, hadn't started yet. But, you know, the games are months away. It's different with a strength and conditioning coach because this you have to be doing it every day to prepare for practices and games.
Yeah, that is true. And then, I mean, it's one of those things you have to. You just have to make the hire. Like, right. The hire has to be made soon.
So I don't know. We'll see. I haven't heard any names come up about who they're looking at.
I haven't either. It's been like in the dark. It's been like an in the dark type of thing. It basically has just been. I mean, I understand. You're in the dark. You don't know. Yada yada yada. I understand it, but at the same time, you need to get the ball rolling on this. The ball needs to be rolling on this. But like we said, spring practice starts next week. Practice is
open to the public.
It is
open. Was it open last year?
You know what? I don't think it was open too much last year. I don't think it was open too much. But this year, it's open.
That's interesting. Do you think last year it was because of the quarterback battle? Or why do you think?
You know what? I don't know. That's a great question.
Well, I think this year they couldn't afford to not have it open because there's going to be low attendance at the games. So they need to initiate the hype and having open practices where fans can come and watch the team develop and see what's new is the best way to do that.
Exactly. It might have been open last year. I just don't remember if it was open or not.
If they would have said practice was closed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would.
Well, I think they're trying. I think because with them retaining Helton and so much backlash against the program,
Matt
they're trying
and Swan's dumpster fire of quotes he's been saying.
Yeah, I think they're trying to re-engage and draw the Trojans back. You know, it's about money, so you're trying to draw the fan base. Like, hey, come back, get off the ledge, and it's not gonna happen until they start really winning games. I mean, coming off a 5-7 season,
right? With all this negative press.
Exactly. But the first practice is on the 5th. It's open to the public. During the weekdays, it's at 3:15. On the weekends, on Saturday, it's at 10 in the morning. Again, free, open to the public. All practices are taking place at Howard Jones and Brian Kenny Field on campus. The spring showcase will take place on Cromwell Field at Locker Stadium and will be on the Pac-12 network. Now, usually
are they not having a spring game again?
Yeah, because of the Coliseum construction.
Mm. That's another shot in the foot for this.
I mean, if they're going to hold the spring game, why not hold it at Bank of California Stadium. Excuse me. Why don't they have it at the new soccer stadium? I mean, unless they did look into the dates and it just didn't match up well, which I understand. I mean, maybe the dates didn't match up well, but I mean, why not, you know? But I understand the spring showcase. You're going to do another spring showcase. I understand that. I'm not.
I think a good PR move for them right now, just because of all the negativity and the fans just not going to show up for the first couple games.
Yeah.
How perfect would this be? A great PR move for them right now would be to bring Reggie Bush to practice or invite him back to campus. You know,
that would be an
amazing PR move for them.
It will be very overdue, but if anything, they need to just go to NCAA and say, look, can we just bring them back? Because I think they got to go to NCAA. They do have to go to the NCAA and request it, because when Reggie Bush went in the locker room, they had to report that to the NCAA, and the NCAA had to give them permission. Because Reggie Bush did go into the USC locker room before.
Yeah, he was at a game, wasn't he, within the past couple of years?
Yeah, the Pac-12 title game, the first time USC went, the first USC-Stanford Pac-12 title game. But that's because they were doing the all-century team. They were doing the Pac-12 100 thing, and Reggie Bush was honored. And
that's ridiculous. Why? What do they think he's going to do on campus?
Well, it's part of the punishment that they had.
I know.
The permanent disassociation. But if you want to make a fair comparison, look at what's his face from Michigan, Chris Webber. Look at the Chris Webber situation. He's welcome back to Michigan. So why can't Reggie Bush be welcome back to USC? He's a big part of these. He's a big part of the USC tradition and legacy. He won a Heisman there. Granted, they took it away, and they were like, look, it's out the record books, but we knew it happened. It happened. Reggie Bush did do that. I'm just saying, why not bring Reggie Bush back? And then the fact that you bring Reggie Bush back on campus, think about the recruiting. And you need help in recruiting right now. That's just my viewpoint on it.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly jumpstart fans' attention, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely. 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 But
they need to do something. You know, open practices are a good start, but they need to do something else to get the hype going.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. But moving, let's go ahead. Let's move forward as we get into a quick recap of what's going on with other USC athletic sports. USC baseball started the season. Started off well against North Carolina, against Nebraska Omaha. They took two out of three. And then they lost
they went
two
downhill.
Out of three. Yeah, they lost two out of three against Arkansas. And
they blew them out the first game. It was like, what was it?
I think they hit double digits in runs.
Yeah.
Against them. And then it just, like you say, went downhill. They played Arkansas. Arkansas is ranked number 16 in the nation. So, according to the NCAA rankings. So, I understand, okay, you're going up against the big guys. You got a
The football and the basketball team. They're non-conference opponents, so they can't get it done.
That is true. That is very true. They played against UC Santa Barbara and lost 2-1 against Santa Barbara in a pitcher's
duel. Yeah, UC Santa Barbara though, they're always at the top.
Exactly. I mean, and they are. I mean, they are. I mean, they like I said, they salvaged the game. They salvaged the game against Arkansas on a walk-off. I think they hit a walk-off home run, actually.
Yeah, they did.
the walk-off home run to salvage that game. Again, they lost to the Gauchos. So, I mean,
speaking of baseball, you know what makes me mad? This is totally random, but they don't have adjustable baseball hats. They're always the flex ones or the fitted ones for baseball. And it makes me mad because as a girl, I wanted an adjustable one so I could wear my hair out.
I was getting ready to say something on that, actually. I forgot what I was getting ready to say on that, actually. But, no, I get what you're saying. I used to think, I used to think, honestly, in all honesty, I used to think baseball hats were adjustable. But then I saw that they were always fitted. And so, I don't know, to me, it's not, it doesn't bug me because I know how to find hat sizes.
I just never wear fitted hats because if I'm wearing a hat, my hair's going to be up, so. And that doesn't work for me.
That's why I don't have hair. But I will say USC this coming week, they have a tough schedule at home. They got Oklahoma State coming up, Michigan coming up that Saturday, actually, that Saturday. Mm-hmm. Then they play UCLA. They're playing three ranked teams. They're going to play three ranked teams in three straight games. So USC, if this is the time they're going to get it going, they got to get it going now because you're going to need those wins. I mean, it's a brutal schedule. Then again, it's a brutal schedule. USC, as of record time, plays UCLA at Poly Pavilion. USC blew out UCLA. USC blew out UCLA the last time they played at Galen Center. Both teams coming in this game at 15. I believe at 15 and 13, this is huge. This is a huge game for USC because they could possibly get a first round bye in a Pac-12 tournament, which is huge for them because if they get that, then they'll have a good road to the Pac-12 final, actually Pac-12 championship or Pac-12 tournament final. I think if USC could get to the Pac-12 tournament final, maybe they put themselves in a position because right now the Pac-12 is a two-bit league. Right now it's Washington and whoever else. Washington Oregon and State. Is Oregon State projected to get in? I know the Pac-12 is a two-team league.
I haven't been following them, but I mean,
I think it's them and ASU. I think it's been them and ASU. According to I haven't really been checking up bracketology like I have been. But I think with the Pac-12 being a two bid league, you just gotta. I don't know, USC right now. The best thing they can do to for surely get in is just win out. They would have to win the Pac-12. They would have to win the Pac-12 tournament. That's not as far-fetched as it sounds, but USC tends to shoot themselves in the foot.
Right.
But it's not as far-fetched as it sounds. And the same with the women's. Though the women look better, they just need to learn to close games. If they can close games, I think they'll be good. I still think the USC women's team is a dangerous team. Because if they jump on teams and they can stay on them, they're going to be a dangerous team. They're going to be a very dangerous team in the Pac-12 tournament. But again, I think the men and the women's, it just depends. Like I said, the Pac-12, the Pac-12 as a conference has just been underwhelming.
Yeah, for multiple sports except water polo and swimming.
Even water polo.
And volleyball.
Yeah.
Soccer. Soccer's been doing pretty good the past couple of years.
Yeah, that is very true. Well, I guess Joe Lunardi has the Pac-12 as a one-bit league, which is very embarrassing for a Power 5. I have to say, that is highly embarrassing if you're a Power 5 school. And that's a problem. As much talent as the Pac-12 have, That is very sad if you're going in, you're a one bid league. But then again, USC has to, I think USC just has to win the whole thing. USC has to flat out win the whole thing in order for them to really get in.
Yeah. What do you think about Dan Hubbs?
What do I think about Dan Hubbs?
Yeah.
In terms of...
What do you think if they don't perform well this year?
The Pac-12 or...
UFC baseball.
Oh, excuse me. I'm stuck on basketball. I don't know, because he is in the last year of his contract. If USC don't do well, I can see them moving on. But it's just a matter of who do you get to replace them? Now, USC, they've been doing well recruiting-wise with baseball, but I don't know, because you're in Southern California and you got a lot of, and it's a lot of talent with baseball. But you are competing with Long Beach State, Fullerton, and UCLA, you know, on top of the teams in your own conference with UCLA and Oregon State. That's a very good question. I think if they don't perform well, I think they don't retain them. I think that's how I view it. Though you never know, they're throwing out extensions left and right to coaches, so.
Especially alumni.
Especially alumni. But we had a couple of questions, actually. We did get a couple of questions. Both pertaining to USC football. So let's go ahead and jump here as I'm looking through Bryce Harper news. Go ahead and jump to it. Question number one comes from Richon 18, and he asks, "What is USC's status with 2020 running back Kendall Milton?"
That's a good question. Right now, it says he's leaning USC. I mean, he's a 5-star recruit out of Clovis, California. So it's between Alabama, it looks like, and USC. But USC is still the heavy favorite. We'll see how. I haven't heard like anything really about him recently. I've been hearing a lot about Bryce Young just because of Graham Harrell and all that, but I haven't really heard anything about Kendall Milton.
Right now, 5-star running back according to 24/7 Sports composite. 5-star running back, number 2 running back in the nation, number 4 in California, number 4 overall in California, and he's 15th overall in the nation. Again, crystal ball is showing USC 75%. That is going to be one of those things where USC, and that's the thing, it's going to be one of those things where USC is going to have to recruit hard for him because they do need a running back.
Right.
They will need a running back. They're just going to have to recruit hard. I think now that the staff is stable and in place, I think you're just waiting to see what goes on. He did go to Texas to visit. He was in Texas not that long ago for a visit. But they're just going to have to really, really, like, turn things up to try to get him. That's going to be the big thing is can they pull him in?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We will see. We will see. I do think it's going to depend on how they recruit and how USC looks this season. Because for whatever reason, depending on how USC performs, is where you'll get the big fish. Another question that was asked was, scroll back to it, was by We Talk Football. And it asked, on what tarmac will Clay Helton be fired? If USC struggles, yeah, then maybe he'll get fired. I don't know. It's just more, it depends on what happens with USC.
Right.
That's all I can put it. It depends on what goes on with USC that season. If they struggle against Fresno State and they lose games, I don't know. If they're at 300 or at 300, if they're at 500 or below, if they're below, and if it looks really bad, I think he'll go. But I can't tell when. It depends on what happens against Fresno State.
If they're Stanford. Underperforming, if they're barely losing, I don't think he will. But if they're getting blown out, I think
that first game, if they struggle against Fresno State, they lose to Stanford, struggle against BYU, or if they beat BYU, of course they'll beat BYU, but then they underperform against Washington and Utah, you could see it. Those first five games are going to be really interesting. Those first five games will be really interesting to see if Clay Helton stays or not. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to what happens against Fresno State. Here's the thing. If USC goes, let's say, for instance, if USC goes 3-2, they're not getting rid of them. If USC beats, in which I think in all actuality, if they beat Fresno State, if they beat Fresno State, they beat Stanford, because I don't think Stanford's going to be as daunting as everyone thinks. They beat those two, including BYU, go 3-0. They could possibly go 4-0, 3-1. But again, granted how USC looked last season, it's one of those things of you never know.
Yeah, you never know with Lynn Swann.
You never know. Especially with Lynn Swann. Now, I do want to ask this question, and it's going off subject here. So I had a conversation with some people. We were talking about fast food places. It was a conversation that came from, it was a conversation that stemmed with a couple of people, actually. And we were talking fast food. And someone brought up an unpopular opinion, I think, in my view, that In-N-Out is, they felt In-N-Out is overrated. And it was basically the conversation of, how people get worked up over other people's opinion. And someone was like, well, I think In-N-Out is overrated. And I told them, and it brought up an interesting conversation. I was like, look, I get it. But to me, I think In-N-Out is hands down the best. And I gave my reasons why. I think the consistently good. Where everyone brings up, oh, well, the lines is long at In-N-Out because the food is always fresh. And that's the only argument. They never sit down and provide real arguments on why is In-N-Out the best, you know?
The drive-thru lines are always long, but if you go in, I mean, it's faster.
No, they skip I've never over had my, to, they skip I've never over had my to. Number one too many times at In-N-Out when I go inside. They'll go, order number one, order number two. I'll have order number five. Order number one, two, three, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 5. Like, you went all out of order.
I think In-N-Out's fries are overrated. I think their fries are not good. Whenever I go, I never get fries. And I don't think their milkshakes are good either.
I don't get the milkshakes like that.
It tastes like they just
poured
melted ice cream into a cup, which for a milkshake, they need to mix it with milk.
Melted ice cream into a cup.
So, I don't like their shakes or their fries. I love their burgers, though. But for me, I haven't had Shake Shack. I've had Whataburger once, and it wasn't good. Maybe I just didn't get the right thing, or they had an off day, but it tasted dry.
Whataburger's very overrated. I'm sorry.
Shake Shack. I haven't been. What's the other big one?
Shake Shack is all right.
Their fries look really good.
Five Guys to me.
I hate Five Guys. The only thing I will eat at Five Guys is the Cajun fries, and even then, they're not that great.
I'll eat their fries. Their fries are amazing. I just think with Five Guys is very. The reason why I don't like Five Guys is because of the price. It's very.
The price, and then the burger tastes like someone made it on their barbecue at home and they weren't a good cook.
Wow. It's very greasy. I'll say that much. Might as well be called.
It's very mushy, and it's not good to me.
I went In-N-Out, circling back to In-N-Out. Like I said, the burger consistently is good. That's the thing. I think a lot of people are like, it's the burger.
I don't think I've ever had a bad burger there.
But it's the consistency. Like, you can go away from it. I think everybody base it off of, can I eat it every...
It's exactly. Probably the cheapest fast food place there is.
Well, I think a lot of people go off of, can I eat it every day? The thing is, there's other good burger places. You could think there's other good burger places. There are other good burger places that the burger is probably better than In-N-Out. But consistency, I would consistently go back to In-N-Out because In-N-Out never lets me down. Though the fries, I will never eat the fries straight up. I got to get animal style fries.
See, I'm not a big fan of the sauce. I'll eat it on the burger, but I don't think I would get it on fries.
I would. I think the fries, the animal style fries are very good. Because, again, I can't eat their fries straight up. Now, in a perfect world, if you were to give me an In-N-Out burgers with Five Guy fries and whatever milkshake you can think of, Baker's. You got me.
Baker's has really good, that's a Southern California thing. But Baker's has, they kind of went downhill though, because the owner died and they went under new management. They changed their menu. So the last time I had a burger, it wasn't good there, but their tacos are good. And their milkshakes are the best I've had. So
here's another plate. And I got mad. Somebody called Roscoe's overrated. I got mad. I got very mad. I was like, how do you call Roscoe's overrated? But then again, I'm like, if you go to like the Waffle House and stuff, like there's a chicken and waffles place. It's a House of Chicken and Waffles in Oakland and in Walnut Creek. That's pretty good. But here's a place that's not talked about enough. I don't get why this isn't talked about enough. Tommy's. Why is Tommy's chili burgers? Why is Tommy Burgers not talked about enough when it comes to Southern California fast food restaurants?
I've never been there.
Tommy's, I feel like Tommy's is like, it's not talked about enough. I don't know, because there's only so many Tommy's in Southern California or in the Los Angeles area. I don't know. But Tommy's is not talked about enough. And we need to have a discussion about that. We need to have a dialogue on that. Why is Tommy's not talked about enough? I know everyone's like, isn't this supposed to be about USC football? We'll get, we get it, folks, but why is Tommy's just not between Tommy's and there's another place that I'm forgetting. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, and Rally's.
Though I've never Rally's, heard of that one.
Though Rally's, I don't want to say it's exclusively a Southern California thing because there's Checkers. It's called Checkers in other places. But Rally's is not talked about enough, too. I think Rally's is decent. I don't think it. If you were to put together a top five of fast food restaurants in Southern California, Tommy's would be on there. In-N-Out would be on there. What else would be on there? What other place would be on there? I can't think of it.
Is there a Mexican fast food place?
King Taco, it's not
King
really
Taco. I don't really like it, but people do.
I mean, there's King Taco. They're not really fast food restaurants, but there's another one. It's Gavilan or something like that. But they make very good tacos. I don't know. There's like quite a few places.
I know places here locally that would be on it, but not ones that are spread out over California.
See, like, I would go. In-N-Out is more of like a West Coast thing, though I think in Southern California, In-N-Out is top five. Then you get people from the East Coast that come and they go, oh, it's overrated. Yeah, because you have it once. Like, we have it multiple times and it's the
Right.
consistency. We don't, I mean, Five Guys is out here, though I think
Five
Five
Guys is
Guys.
out east too. They have one in
Yeah.
Tennessee and
I
so.
when people go out east or when they go to Michigan, you gotta have I don't know why people
Shake
out
Shack.
not you know it's not Shake Shack, White Castle. I think White Castle is pretty
That's
good.
like White Castle. That's like I don't want to be.
Please don't tell me you had the microwavable White Castle
No,
because they don't compare.
I'm trying to find an equivalent that won't get me in trouble for saying it.
You're gonna get in trouble saying it one way or another, so might as well
Let's
just
see.
say it.
White Castle is like the equivalent of like.
I'm waiting for it. I'm so waiting for
I'm trying to think of a food place because I was going to say it was the equivalent of white trash, but
it.
maybe McDonald's, but McDonald's is kind of good, so
McDonald's is good. You can't compare it to McDonald's because if
yeah,
you're
I
saying
don't know.
McDonald's is trash, a lot of you're gonna have a lot of people in your mentions going,
Maybe
McDonald's is
Wiener
trash.
Schnitzel. I mean, who goes to Wiener Schnitzel? I mean, I like their little corn dogs, but.
Okay, Wiener Schnitzel is not a place I would stop at for a hot dog. There are maybe eight other establishments I will go to before Wiener Schnitzel. So maybe, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Wiener Schnitzel's at least fair. Because Wiener Schnitzel is like an off and on type of thing. It just depends on how
I
you
don't think I'd
feel.
ever get a hot dog there. I got their mini corn dogs and they were pretty good and they have good milkshakes, but
I had a hot dog from there. Though I had cheese fries or chili cheese fries
ooh,
from
I bet
there.
they have good chili.
And
It's
like I
probably good.
had like a little burrito thing from there. But
Burrito, that's kind of weird.
I know it's weird for Wiener Schnitzel, but I wouldn't, nah, Wiener Schnitzel wouldn't be my first place I go to. That gotta be like a I'm in the mood and I'm hungry
No,
and
that's got
nothing
to be
else
like you're
entices
on a
me.
road trip and you're in the middle of nowhere and that's the only thing there.
That it's one of those it gotta entice me type of things. Like that has to
I've
be
never
one.
had White Castle though, so I don't know. I'm probably being unfair, but
White Castle's not bad.
it just doesn't look good. It's like cheese and a patty and a little bun.
It's good. It's because they have a pickle in it too, and
Okay, I love pickles. Maybe that's what
it has
makes
the
it better.
it has like three pickles in it, and
Okay, three.
it's good. I mean, it's not if you had a bar burger, like you could get like a whole box for like $20. You could get a whole box of White Castle burgers, and
Maybe the
like.
equivalent. Oh no, but that's. Have you ever had Dairy Queen food? I've never had their food. I've only had their ice cream.
I've had Dairy Queen food. Dairy Queen food is not bad.
I've heard it's really good.
It's not bad. I matter of fact, there is a Dairy Queen. No, that's Foster's Freeze. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm getting mixed up with Foster's Freeze. Foster's Freeze food is not bad. I'm not gonna say it's like something to write home about, but when I was at Santa Monica and I was in the middle of lunchtime, like when I was getting food, I was like, okay, I could get Foster Freeze. Dairy Queen food is not that bad though. If you want DQ food, it's not bad.
Interesting.
Foster's Freeze isn't bad either. Though I wouldn't eat it every day. Foster's Freeze isn't that their fries is not good though. I would not recommend their fries to anybody. Their fries are like, And their fries are kind of pricey too. For subpar fries.
Interesting. I've heard of that, but I don't think there's one near here.
I mean, Foster Free, you got it kind of depends. It depends. So, I mean, I don't know. Foster Freeze is I like Foster's Free. I like their burgers too. Their burgers are good. Their burgers are good. But other than that, I think that'll be it for us. I know we kind of went on about food, but...
Let us know what your top three fast food places are where you live.
Yeah, let us know. Give
and
us
if
your
you think White Castle is equivalent of white trash.
If you are in Michigan...
If you're offended, I'm sorry.
If you are in Michigan or out east, please let her know about White Castle, though I know you guys' opinion of White Castle is not that great. But yeah, let us know your top five food places. If you're in Southern California, give us a top five. If you're anywhere else, give us a top five too. Give us a top three or a top five, and let us know your top five fast food restaurants in your area. You can follow us on Twitter at C Chronicles SBN. You can also follow me on Twitter at Matt A. Lowry.
You can follow me at Always Compete.
And you can listen to us on Megaphone. Still working to get back on iTunes. Well, if you haven't seen any episodes on iTunes, we're still working on that. But follow us on Megaphone as well. I believe are we on the SB Nation Podcast Network website yet?
Last time I checked was we were still waiting on the Anchor redirect, so I haven't checked.
I haven't checked either, but we'll give you guys all the information on that to let you guys know what's going on that. We'll keep you updated. Also, we got some cooking for you guys on for all basketball fans on Conquest Chronicles coming up soon. I'm not gonna reveal it yet. Not gonna reveal it yet. But we got something coming for you guys, so be ready for that. But until next week. Oh, and don't forget USC UCLA on March 10th at Dodger Stadium. If you haven't got your ticket yet, USC fans, get your tickets. Get there. Dina and I will be there, and then we'll be doing a podcast episode, I believe, from wherever we're going to eat at. We'll let you guys yes. know. We have not even decided that yet. I'm trying to convince her Roscoe's. She's not going for it. So we haven't figured it out, but we'll be recording there. We'll be recording there, and yeah, join us. Join us if you can. If not, we're still going to record anyway, but join us if you can. And if you're at Dodger Stadium, come say hello to us. Come say what's up to us. We don't bite. We're not strangers. And yeah, until next week, fight on, everyone.
Fight on.